Okay, a database object here is what they're doing is creating a sequence. So a sequence is just something you set up, and it's mainly used for ID numbers to sequence something. I think one of the big things for it is invoices. Invoices tend to be in sequential order. And you give an invoice number, and then the next person wants to give the next number, but the next person may not be anywhere near the previous person. So you don't know what the invoice numbers are. So if they use a sequence for the invoice number, that means somebody, you know, can create an invoice, and then somebody else can create another one, and there's no communication with them. They're just using the sequence number for an invoice number. And that tends to be the nice way of doing it. And I set up one down here that I had you set up, where I said create a sequence called department number. And I want to increment it by 2. I want to start with 2. And I want a max value of 12. So that let me put in 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, and 12. And then when I got to that point and tried to put something in, it told me that I was out of values. So I put in 2, I put in 4, I put in all the way down to 12. And then when I went to put in something else, it told me that the sequence was out. So I had to go in and alter the sequence and change the max value. And when I did that, now I can go up through 100, okay? And when I run out there, I can change the max value and go higher. Usually people set the max value fairly high, okay? The other thing I did on here was I created an index, okay? And I created an index on department name, and I created an index on budget. If those are two things that I want to go in, I can go in and look at them. And if I want to see something, I can go into user indexes or user index columns, and I can see what I have. These are things that I would never remember. But I know I have a list of them, and so I know what tables I can go into to find something. Okay, a non-unique index means that it can appear more than once, and a unique index is something more like a primary key that only appears once. And then they talk about synonyms, and synonyms is basically creates another name for the object. So they talk about these are the things that you can create. You can create tables, you can create views, you can create sequence, you can create a synonym, which is another name. When I tried to do it and make it a public, then I was not allowed to because I didn't have the security setups. Okay. So you are dependent on the security that the network administrator gives you or that the database administrator gives you as to what you can do. And we talked about the fact that you can set things up for read-only for users. You could also set up their privileges. Okay. And then the last thing that we just didn't get to the last time was a script. And I set up a script like this. So I have a script that says, accept in ID number, prompt, put up the ID number. And I wrote this script. And then when I run it, I call the script define form. And when I run it, I get the please enter, please enter, please enter. So I would be putting that up. A user could use it to enter something in. Okay, notice that the values that I'm inserting is I am putting the quotes in when I want it to be a field that has quotes. I'm not asking the user to put them in. So I'm putting the quotes in. So ID number and drive number and date and amount does not have quotes around it. So amount will not have quotes when it is entered in. So when I run this, they just typed in numbers and our words, and the values picked up the quotes if I had put the quotes in the initial value. So this basically is a good way to set it up so that someone who doesn't know Oracle at all can just do a run of that and enter data into a record. And so that's what I was doing there. And back up here, I think I know. Those are the tables. So every time I wanted to enter one in, I said at define form, and I entered another record in. Okay. So those are the things I didn't quite finish up last time. Questions? Okay. Then we're going to start PLSQL. All PLSQL is Oracle's version of this, but all of the major databases have a version of this that you can use to write programs. Okay, so what we've got here is an introduction to PLSQL. Now, when I wrote these notes, I wrote them in the sequence that Oracle taught the courses, because I took Oracle's courses. And I basically went home and did it in the sequence that Oracle taught the courses. And since then, I've been back to refresher courses with them and then doing it in the same sequence. I don't like the sequence. So I tend to look at just a little of this one, skip this entirely. We'll get back to it down here someplace. And then go into the if statements where you can actually see how it works. Because the stuff that is mostly in those first two tends to be mostly technical. So introduction to PLSQL we'll look at very briefly. More examples of inner-outer procedures we're going to wait until further on in here when it makes more sense. And we're going to then look at introduction to if statements. And that's what I'm going to mainly focus on today. Okay, it's a procedural language, and it has these four things. I've got a declare, where I can declare variables and everything else, and that's optional. I've got a begin, which is required. I got exceptions, which is optional, where I can pick up errors. And I've got an end that is required. So I've got to have those four things. Okay, so down below, I've got a script that I'm making. Okay, and the script has got a declare where I said, okay, first of all, I'm saying making a script. So I say edit AFST intro is the name I gave it. That will bring up the script editor, and I enter this stuff into the script. Okay? So I then have vMessage is varchar2, 25 characters. And then I said, okay, I want to assign a literal to it. Okay? And I assigned the literal. But I didn't do anything with it. I just assigned it. The assignment sign is there, a colon followed by an equal sign. And then from this point on, I just kind of go on and play with the way things interact. And as I said, I really want to skip that and go do something practical and then come back and pick up more of the theory. This is more of the theory. So I am going to say, let's go look at the if statement one. So introduction to if statements. Okay, I'm using my donor database, and I made a new copy. So now I've got a program, and that's what I want to look at. So I said, edit donor zero. Okay, so that's what I called it. And I've got verify off and set verify on. And those are going to show some output. Then I started out and I did the declare. And I set up two fields in the declare. One of them I call V underscore ID number. And the V was to tell me it was a variable. And I said, okay, this is going to be a VARECARE2 field of 5. And I want to have user input come in. And the user is going to be prompted for the input. And whatever input they put in is going to go into ID number. Okay. So remember, we looked at ampersand input ID number, or ampersand something, and that sets up a temporary memory variable. Okay? So if you look down below at this, if you look down below when I actually run it, okay, it says, please enter value for input ID number. So by setting that up there, when I say run the script, it will prompt me for something to put into input ID number. Okay, so that is saying I want to take in a variable from the user, and I want to assign it to ampersand input ID number. Okay. And then, so I get that the user types in, and I assign it for my program's purposes to V ID number. Okay, so the user enters in the number 12121, and 12121 gets assigned V ID number. So I'm taking in data from the user. Okay. Then I've also set up a year goal. And the year goal is a 7-character field, 2 of which are decimal. Somebody, I can't remember who it was, we were looking at something, and if you make 7 is the total number of characters, and 2 is the number of decimal places. And if you make something 2, 2, then that basically says only decimal places can come in. Okay? So you need to have whole numbers out there and then the number of decimals. So a total of 7 characters, 2 of which are decimal. Some languages will have you put full numbers, comma, decimal numbers. So you always have to kind of check that out to see if that initial number stands for total number of characters, or whether that initial character stands for the number of whole numbers. Because there's 2 ways of doing that for different languages. Okay, so I've now declared 2 memory variables. And then I hit the begin. And I say, select year goal into V year goal from donor new, where ID number equals V ID number. So what did it do? It said, prompted me, and I typed in 12121, okay? And then it said, okay, now I want to get the year goal from the record that has the ID number of 12121, okay? So it went, and it looked into the file, and the file is called donor new. And it retrieved the record that matched. Okay? Then I said, okay, if your VA goal is greater than 250, then I want to take and multiply it by 1.1. Otherwise, I don't want to do anything. So I'm using the select to retrieve, and then I am using an if statement to go in and make a change, temporary change. The change is being made in VA goal. So I'm saying if VA goal is greater than 250, then take VA goal, multiply it by 1.1, and assign it. And the colon equals an assign assignment. So I'm assigning it back to VA goal. And then I have an end of the if. And then I can use the update statement and say update donor new, set VA goal equal to VA goal, where ID number is equal to VID number. So I have now updated the table. Then I commit and I end. Okay. And then to run it, I use start or I use at sign, and it will run. So let's bring up Oracle. And I don't know if I have donor new out there or not. Yes. So I have apparently, and it looks like I've already made changes. So I'm going to say select, create a table. Donor one new. Select asterisks from donor. I think I have a donor out there. And now let's see what I've got. Yeah, now I've got the original. So I've got donor one new as the table that I'm going to use. So now if I want to create this, I'm going to say edit, and let's see if I actually have it out there. Whoops. Try typing it without the slash. No, I don't have it. So I'm saying it is going to come back and ask me if I want to create the table, and I'm saying yes. I'll create the view. I'm the code. So I'm saying yes. So I've now got edit donor zero, and I've got the yes in there. Okay, so I'm making a script. I have now made a script that is called donor zero. Okay, and so now I need to put the code into that script. So I'm going to have you do exactly what I did here, which is set verify off. And then I'm saying declare. So go ahead and just do this particular one. notice the semicolons after. Kept it outside, it doesn't matter. And again, this has to be done in a script. You're going to make it a script. Now, can you do some of it at the SQL prompt? Yeah, but it's not going to work terribly well. So you want to make a script. So I'm going to do a file save and a file exit. And then I'm going to come down here and say @donor0. And it asked me to enter an input value, and I'm going to do the same one that I did, 121. And it tells me the procedure is successfully completed. Okay? I didn't put out any information. I didn't display any information. I just did it. So I took in a record. I checked the content of the record. I made a change to the record if the year goal was greater than 250, and then I updated. So, person 12121 is at the top of the screen here, and they had a 400. Okay, so now I want to see if the update took place. So I can say select asterisk from donor one new, and I can have a where clause if I just want to see that particular record that I know I did. So I can say where ID number equals 12121. And there's Jennifer, and her amount has been updated to 440. And so I know that she got the 10% increase. Okay, because there she is up there. And when she was up there, she had 400, and now she had 440. Okay? So I'm not displaying anything on the screen at all. I am just doing the processing. And in fact, that's the way that, you know, you're mostly going to work. You're not going to necessarily get screen input back. Especially when we start using multiple records. Right now, we can only update an individual record. If in a couple of weeks we'll be able to update every record in the database. But that involves using cursors. And cursors are a way that Oracle lets me step through the tables in the database. And we'll get to those, but we're not there yet. So for now, we just work with an individual record. We don't work with a collection of records. So I prompted the user. The user gave me the ID for an individual record, and I made the change. Did everybody get that working okay? In other words, did it work? Okay, I mean, did you successfully update Jennifer Ames so that she now has more money? Or I want to get more money out of her? That's what it is. It's a year goal, so I want to get more money out of her. Did anybody have any problem with it? Does anybody want to interact with me today? Okay, guess not. Set verify off and on. Remember, we give you the feedback of the lines underneath that said, this is what you selected, this is what you selected, and that sort of thing. So set verify on and off. Remember back to when we were using these. Yeah, and in fact, just a little while ago when I was showing you the accepts, it had the data down below. That's what the set verify off and on does. Good technique is if I am setting verify off, then at the bottom of my script, I want to set verify on again. So I want to return things to normal when the script is done. If when the script runs, I don't want to see those extra lines come up to see the verification, then I can set verify off. But at the end, I should set it back on again because that's the standard. Okay? And remember, if we go back to what I looked at just a minute ago, the script, because you're all kind of looking at me, that's the verify. That old, new, that's what I'm talking about with the verify. And it comes up with the old and the new when I use those ampersand field names. It comes up with the old and the new. Okay. So set verify off means that it will not come up with that. Where did it go? There it is. No, that's more ifs, apparently. If that's what I want. Okay.
It worked for me, by the way, and I just finished it.
Thank you. That's what's known as input. Okay, so that is basically how I can go in and write a program that does multiple things. Okay, up until now, we've been trying to jam everything into one select statement. And an if statement becomes difficult. if I want to especially have an if else, then it becomes far more difficult. We have one way of doing it, but that there's not a lot of flexibility there. So this gives us more flexibility. So I've strung in here a select, an if statement, and an update statement. Okay, and I've strung them all in. And I ran it again, so you can run it again with somebody that apparently 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So I can run this again by just saying @donor0. And this time I put in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It comes back and tells me that it is complete, but I don't know what it did. So I can say select asterisk from donor one new where ID number equals 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And it comes back with Robert Brooks, and it hasn't changed because Robert Brooks up here had a 50, and Robert Brooks down there has a 50. Okay. And again, it ran this code. There we go. I'll get it yet. It ran that code, and it said to only do the update if it was greater than 250. Robert Brooks is not greater than 250, so it didn't do the update. Okay. Now I can throw an else in there and get something else happening if the thing is no, but this was just a simple if statement. Okay. So if I go down, what I did next was I added in the else. So that now I am giving everybody an increase, but I'm changing the percentage of the increase. Okay. So if you go back in and add that in, so I now have an else. And I have the goal is going to be assigned. The V goal times 1.05. Okay, and notice the use of the semicolons to end lines. Okay. We used to just have it at the end of the select. Now I'm having it at the end of the if statement and at the end of the update. The if statement isn't over until the end if. So this one ends, this semicolon ends the if statement. But inside both the true and the false, there is just one statement that is done. So that semicolon ends the statement. I would not put it on the if statement. I put it on the end if statement to end the if. But in between, I can have a lot of code if it's true and a lot of code if it's false. Okay, so I put semicolons after each line of code that is complete. So try Robert Brooks again. Whoops, where did it go? I have no idea what I managed to hit there. And file exit, and then I'm going to run it. So I'm saying @donor0, enter the value 34567. Hi. Oh, that's fine. And then I say select asterisk from donor one new, where ID number equals 34567, and it came up with 52.5, which is a 5% increase. So that's right. He got a 5% increase. Okay. Questions? Okay, now the next one that I'm looking at is asking a bunch of if statements. So I'm basically here saying, check, and if the year goal is greater than 300, then I want to multiply by 1.3. If not, is it greater than 200? And if it is, I want to multiply by 1.2. If not, is it greater than 100? And if so, I want to multiply by 1.1. And otherwise, I want to multiply by 1.05. So that's what I'm doing there, is I am putting in the whole set of possibilities and giving them a new year goal depending on the set of possibilities. So go in and modify it for that. And what you can do is actually, have you got it up? Have you got Oracle up?
Computer's still kind of
chugging along, yet. Okay. What we're doing is looking at PLSQL. And if you just look up here, the set verify off and set verify on are whenever we use the ampersand input ID number for variables, it shows the old and the new. And I didn't want to show the old and new, so I set verify off. And then at the end, it's a good idea to set it back to its original. So I just set verify on to set it back to its original. Then in PLSQL, the first thing I can do is if I have variables, I put them under a declare. So I say declare, and I declare the variables that I want to work with. In this one, I have a BID number and a B-year goal. Well, when I run this, I want to prompt the user to put in an ID number. So I use that temporary variable, the ampersand input ID, which prompts the user. And I use the assignment sign, and in PLSQL, the assignment sign is a colon followed by an equals. So I'm saying when the user types that in, assign it to VID number. And then I have a V year goal. And then in the begin, I say, okay, I want to get something into V year goal. So select the
year goal from a record, put it into the variable, use the table called donor new, and I only want the record that has a VID number equal to what I typed in. And I typed in 12121, so it retrieves the record for 12121. And then I said, okay, now check. And if the year goal is greater than 300, I want to do a calculation and assign it back to the year goal. Else, I have another check that will result in another assignment if it's true. Else, I have another check, and if it's true, I'll do another assignment. And else, I've got the default assignment. And notice when I drew the flowchart, I have three zero circles here. Those match with the three end ifs. So each of my ifs has to have an end if. And in an if, in a or, one of the other, one or the other, they all end up being at the bottom. And then I did an update and committed it and ended it. And that is where I stand. So that's a brief summary, but very brief. But if you look at the notes, it will be helpful. I skipped the first two set of PLSQL notes because they're really too much detail, and I'll go back to them. But as I said, I did it in the order that Oracle does it. And I decided in retrospect that I didn't like their order. So I'm starting out by looking at whole programs, and then we'll go back and look at the details. Has everybody got this working? Did I turn off? Yeah, I think I did. That was pretty stupid. SQL Plus. And that's the one that I did earlier. I didn't update this one. I just stopped at that point. I didn't do the one that I just asked you to do. So test it and make sure that it's working. Okay, this is an alternative way of doing what I did back there. Not exactly an alternative, but I've got an else if as opposed to an else and then another if. This is an else if, and most languages have that. The big difference between an if with else's and an else if is this one only has one end if. Okay, it has an if and an end if. And then I say, if this is true, else if. And notice there's no E in else if. Okay? And almost always when I type it, I have the E in there and have to take the E back out because somebody decided else if should not have the E in it. Okay? So, else if. And then I can have a whole series of else ifs if I want to. Else if, else if, else if. And then the final else at the bottom is if all of the others fail, this is what you want to do. So I have the else if at the end. Okay, so I'm saying here, If it is less than 100, then I am doing 1.1. And if it's not less than 100, okay, is it less than 250? And if it is, I'm doing a 1.2. And for everybody else, I'm doing a 1.3. But in this case, I don't have to put any if except the final if.
Okay. Else if does not require intermediate ifs and ifs, which is, again, pretty universal in programming languages. So go in and give that one a try. And pick the ones that you tested on. And if you decide you want a new clean table, just create another table with the create table as. Okay, so if you want to test it with a clean table, do a create table, you know, donor 1, donor 2, donor 3, whatever, as. This is in a script, so you have to go out and do an edit. So I did, I called this one donor 1. So I said edit donor 1. And when I run this, it will run as @ donor 1. So the edit brings up the script. I then put it in the script. And when I'm done with the script, I save and exit. And then I do an @ donor 1. Which, by the way, I am caught up till around 7 o'clock last night, and then I had other things to do. So I'm caught up. So if I have not returned something to yours, it's because I didn't get it. Or possibly because I misfiled it. But we'll go with I didn't get it.
You got your stuff.
Huh?
You got your stuff.
Okay. But if there is something you didn't get back, I'm caught up. And I'm caught up because I'm going away this weekend and I'm going to fall far behind this weekend. Okay, so don't expect great turnaround from now until next week. And then, so I'm going to have a bad weekend, and then I'll have a good weekend, or actually a good weekend, and then a bad one, since the correcting is not the fun weekend. Okay, so just keep that in mind. But as of, I think, 7 o'clock last night, I was caught up, and then a few things drifted in. Which again means if you didn't get it back, I didn't get it. And you need to keep track of where you stand with assignments. And if you're having trouble with that, send me an email and I will get back to you. Okay, has everybody got else if working? And feel free to throw in a couple of other else's, else ifs, or something like that. Let's see if I have it. Nope. Okay, there's enough typing going on that I'll wait a minute.
Should bring up notepad.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay. And then you type your script into notepad, and when you're done, and this notice it says .sql, so it's making a script called donor4.sql. And then save and exit.
Okay.
After you've got it. And then after you've saved and exit, you can run it with the @ sign. Okay, on this last one, and this is something really neat. Instead of having to set up the definition here and say this is a bare care 2 or 15 characters or something. I can set the type equal to a field in the database. So I can say I want to set a VID number and I want it to have the same type as ID number in the donor new table. So what that means is, if you go in and make a modification in the table and change the size of a field, you don't have to go back and change all of your PLSQL programs to have that new size. It will take whatever the current size is and will use that. So if I decide my year goal was 7-2 and I decide I want to make it 8-2 and I go in and modify the table and do an alter on the table, from now on when I run this program it will recognize the 8-2 as the type and it will make year goal 8-2. So that saves an awful lot of having to keep track of a change here means 10 ramifications that I've got to fix. It means that it will be automated. That fix will be automated. So as far as I'm concerned, this is a wonderful thing. Okay? So the only variables that I think that you should declare up here with a type are work area kind of variables, where they don't have any type, they're the result of a calculation, and they don't match with any field on the database. You know, if I'm trying to calculate and I have cost and I have price and I want to calculate profit, then profit, it doesn't have a field. And so that would be a time when I would rewrite number, whatever. So by writing donor new dot ID number type, it means this is the type, this is the size and the type that was laid out in that field. And I changed this one and made it have a goal and a new year goal, because I wanted to show that new year goal can also be given the same type. Okay, so I can assign this type to both of those fields. If I decide the new year goal is obviously got to fit into the field because I'm using it in the update, so it's going to be the same size. Okay, so now when I came down to the update, I'm putting the new goal into year goal. And in the if statement, I'm doing a calculation and assigning it to the new goal. Okay. Questions? And I think that's the end of that. Okay, and then I've got more on PLSQL if statements. So you can just take a look at that, and those we'll take a look at, get into okay, just out of curiosity, and I'm going to do it, do the flowchart for this one. Pull out a paper and pencil and try doing the flowchart. I want to see how many of you are comfortable doing that. I suddenly looked at it and said, you all appear to have paper and pencils. That's a... Well, no, I guess not. Okay, then let's see you do it. Okay, take a few minutes and then I'll put it up here. And do the quick and dirty way that I do, kind of writing... Not a lot. I'm going to do it too, but don't peek.
Drop those right.
Okay, does yours look anything like mine? Yeah. Close enough for government work? Okay. So that basically is my flowchart. And those match my ends, end ifs and my ifs with the red lines over there. And like every language, an if can only have one else and one end if. So you can only have, an if can only have one else and one end if. Questions on this?
Can you explain the little same thing
Oh, same is basically down here. I just assigned the year goal to the new year goal, so I didn't multiply it by anything.
Okay.
So that, I just wrote same there, meaning I was, you know, I didn't make any change. And everything else, I said take the year goal and multiply it by something, and so it gets bigger. Mm-hmm. And this one, I just said make it the same, assign the same thing. So I couldn't think of anything else to do, so I could have just put a 1 in there, because it's multiplied by 1, but it would be the same, too. So again, when you're doing this, I honestly believe that when you're setting up an if statement like this, that's what I use flowcharts. I don't tend to use flowcharts in some areas, but if I'm setting up an if statement where I'm asking a bunch of questions, I draw the flowchart first in about this manner, but that gives me a lot of help in making sure that I'm matching everything up. So I'm a big advocate of drawing a flowchart when you're doing if statements. It just really helps. Does everybody follow what I did up there? Any questions on the if statement? Ask. There are some people in here that have had a gazillion programming courses, and there are some that haven't, so ask.
So there's no else if statement? You just have to do nested ifs forever?
Well, you have the else if. We just did that.
But why isn't it being used then?
Because I didn't choose to.
What would it look like if? Is it the ELIF or is it...
ELSIF. It's that one that we looked at in a few minutes ago, and I'm reluctant to go back because I don't want to take this away, but I will in a second. But if you use ELSIFs, but ELSIFs don't work as well. ELSIFs are made for the, is it this or is it this or is it this or is it this? And when you're mixing in... different fields that you're testing, then actually else's work a lot better than else ifs. Because the else if has to go with, it relates too much to what is already there. So I would use an else for this. So if you make this change, and we are out of time, I just noticed, that, and then run it, you will get something there. Okay? The next ones, and we'll pick this up next Tuesday. Okay? Get into ands and ors. Okay. I am not here on Thursday. Okay? Eric is. And this room is open, and it's a lab, and I would come and work. He's going to be here from 9:30 to 3. And so it's an open lab where people can come and work during their class hour or work longer. Okay? And so it's a catch-up time. I'm not giving you any homework, so that means get caught up, please.
There's nothing to do Thursday. Just double-check.
Well, there's something due this Thursday,
right,
from last week, but I'm not assigning any assignments in this class this week, so nothing is due next Thursday. Okay? It's catch-up. But then I'm going to give you a gazillion things, you know, next week. So.
Okay.
Anyway, get caught. Try to get caught up this week. Because we're in mid-semester, folks.
What is it?
Mid-semester?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, we're a little past mid-semester because this is week 8.
That's a lot of full-time.
So, try to get caught up. First of all, I'm not going to be